Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. I said, God is good. God is good. God is so, so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know my God is good. I experience it all the time, and I just want everybody to experience the same thing I experience. Amen. I want everybody to know my God, because my God is a real God. My God isn't a pretend God. Amen. The Bible isn't a pretend book. It wasn't just written by man. It was written inspired by the Holy Ghost, and it was written to give us direction. It was written to increase us. Amen. And you say, oh, you're talking about that prosperity. Yeah, I'm talking about prosperity. God is a prosperous God. He wants us full. And I'm not just talking of stuff. I'm just saying he wants us full. I mean, one of the highest forms of prosperity I can think of, the highest form of prosperity I can think of, is to be full of God. The highest form of prosperity is to be full of God. Amen. You know, everything else, when you get full of God, everything else just pales in comparison. Everything else is just, it's just kind of, it's not even, it just doesn't even hit the mark, amen? But that doesn't mean God doesn't want it for us. That doesn't mean that God doesn't have good things for us. But you know, we have to be, we have to continually hear these things. We talk about it a lot, but we have to continually hear it. You know, one of the things that the hypnotist uses is repetition. And I'm trying to hypnotize you today, amen? I'm trying to brainwash you, amen? We're going to clean that stinking thinking out, and we're going to get you thinking right, amen? Praise the Lord. Why do I say that? Because there's, you know, I only get you one day a week, sometimes 2 days a week, but the world has you the rest of the week. And when the world has you the rest of the week, they're pumping a lot of things in. And so I got a lot of cleanup to do on Sunday morning, amen? And we just want to make sure that we're doing that, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hopefully you're doing that too throughout the week, that your only time with God isn't just on Sunday. Praise the Lord. You know, God is so good. I just love God. I just love what he does. I love how he meets us. Amen. And I'm so excited for this. So the Lord's got, I started with a message, and then I realized that I couldn't preach it in 1 week, and so it was going to be several messages. And the Lord has really directed me along this line. But we have a little bit of a series we're going to start. I'm not sure how long it's going to go yet, but we're going to start now, and we're going to finish sometime in the coming weeks. Amen. So if you're here today, and today is going to be real good, but the rest of the weeks are going to be real good too. And so you want to get the complete story. So you're just going to have to come back and hear it all. Amen. But the message I'm preaching is called The Will of God. And the first edition is Abundant Life. This is The Will of God, Part 1, Abundant Life. Amen. And what we're going to be talking about is what God actually desires for us. What he paid for, what it means, what's the will of God for our lives, amen? And this is really important. We really need to have this built in us. This has got to be such a solid foundation in us that everything else matches up to this. Everything else looks to this, amen? The will of God, we have to know what the will of God is. There are so many people that run around, they're like, I want to know what the will of God is. I don't know what the will of God is. You know what the will of God is? I don't know. Praise the Lord. But see, we need to know what the Bible tells us to know what the will of God is. It tells us not to be fools, not to be unwise, but to know what his will is. And so we have to have this so into us that when somebody says something else, it's sour in your mouth. It's sour in your gut. Like when somebody says something that isn't the word, you're just like, ooh, that ain't right. That's not good. Amen. We got to know that our God is good. Amen. And we got to know what that is. And the first thing that we're going to learn about is abundant life. Praise the Lord. And you might be surprised where I'm going to turn here this morning, but we're going to start in John 10:10. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes there's this thought that, hey, we see the scripture a lot. Amen. And I'm like, well, I can see this scripture all the time. I can read this scripture every day. It still gets me. I don't ever get bored with this. Amen. John 10:10. Well, what does John 10:10 say? Does anyone know? It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This was his purpose. This is what his purpose is. Not his God-given purpose, because his God-given purpose was much more than that. His God-given purpose was to serve God, but he didn't follow his God-given purpose, just as many people don't follow their God-given purpose. He followed his own purpose, and his purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief has come to it. Now, a lot of people think that it's God that's stealing, killing, and destroying, which is foolishness, because God is not a thief. In fact, in the Old Testament, thieves got stoned, amen? And I can't remember, but it was a severe thing that happened to them. So thieves got taken care of according to God's word. So God couldn't be a thief And then and also punish thieves, right? Because God is a just God. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So anything that is found in stealing, killing, or destroying, that is not of God. That is not of God. It's not the will of God. Amen? This is only the first part of the scripture, but we have to really focus on this. We have to understand this. If it's stealing, if it's killing, or if it's destroying, what's stealing? Stealing is taking something that's not yours. Amen? That's removing something. Does anyone ever have something stolen from them? Have you ever had, we have natural things stolen from us. We know what that means. I had a car broken into once. I remember I had, it was back in the days of radar detectors, amen? And I just got this radar detector. It was like, I can't remember how much it cost, but I put this radar detector, it was like a $100 radar detector is what it was. And I had it in my car. And of course, what do? I got something in my car, so I locked the doors, right? Well, somebody threw a cement block through the window to get the radar detector. Guess what? The window cost me $130. To replace it at the time. So I would have been good to just leave the door open and keep the window. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let them have the radar detector. But you know, when a thief comes to steal, that's what they do. They take something from you. Take something that's not theirs, that's yours, that belongs to you. Well, what belongs to you? Well, I would say if there's a lot of things that belong to me. There's my body belongs to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. If somebody takes them, my health belongs to me, right? If something takes that, it's not their health, it's my health, amen. This is my life, amen. If somebody's taking my life, that's stealing it, amen. There's lots of things that we can put under that umbrella of stealing. I love that the next one is to kill, because a lot of people, they say, well, you know, when somebody goes when they go home to be with the Lord, they ultimately think that God is the one who took them. And so often people are saying, well, God took them. But we see so many scriptures that say just the opposite. We're going to see a little bit more in the scripture, but what does the thief do? He kills. The thief kills. The thief kills. God cannot be, Jesus himself said that a house divided can't stand. You can't, because they were saying that Jesus was doing the miracles by Beelzebub, by the devil. Okay, when he was doing the miracles, some of the people were saying Jesus was doing the miracles of healing by the devil. Let me. They were saying he was doing the miracles of healing by the devil. Jesus said, this is how he answered. He said, you can't have it both ways. He's like, he said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If I were doing these works by the devil, these works are against the devil. Jesus called the healing works against the devil. I don't know if you're making the connection yet. Jesus said that healing works were not of the devil. They were saying it was of the devil, but he's saying it can't be of the devil, because if a house divided can't stand. If the works were, he said, the works I'm doing, if they were of the devil, they couldn't be of God. And if the works were of God, they can't be of the devil. You can't have it both ways. God can't kill and also be the life giver. He can't. Nowhere in Scripture will you ever find that God is the one who kills. God isn't the one who kills. Sin, the Bible tells us in James that sin is what causes death. Amen? It's sin, the process of sin working in our lives. Doesn't mean that everybody died sin specifically to die. Again, we have to say that because people will start taking it wrong and saying, oh, you're saying, well, they died just because they sinned. What about that two-year-old? No, sin is working in the flesh, but it's not God's will. Sin was never God's will. Death was never God's will. He did not create man to die. It wasn't God's will. Right. Praise the Lord. I feel like we got to stay here a little bit because we have to analyze the word and see what it says. God created us to live. The thief does not come. I can't be partners with the thief. And also, listen, in the world we have a simple thing. If you're driving a car and you go rob the bank, right? But you don't rob the bank, the person in your car robs the bank. So me and Mark, you go out, we're driving the car, Mark goes into the bank and robs it, right? Mark comes out of with a whole bunch of money, gets in the car, and I drive away. I didn't rob the bank, did I? But when they pull us over, when they finally catch up to us, what are they going to do? They're going to put us both in jail, and they're going to charge us both with robbing the bank. And that's going to hold up in court because I was an accessory. You can't be an accessory and not be guilty. And see, that's exactly what the scripture is telling us too. The thief. This is why Jesus said this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen? Now, when the thief when death comes, God, yes, God accepts the people that have received him. Amen? God takes them home, so to speak. But when your loved one dies, it wasn't because God comes down and said, oh, their time's over. Whoop. That's not what happens. That is not scripture. It is not scripture. That is religious thinking, but it is not scripture. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I can spend all day on it, but if you have more problem with it, please talk to me afterwards, and we'll go through more scripture and find out. Amen? So the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Destroy. Destroy anything in life. Break things up. People think that, well, praise God, when, something happens. Twin Towers fell. We were just down in, we went to the Flight 93 Memorial and down there in Shanksville, PA, where the plane crashed. And we were looking, just going down there to see that. So that's fresh in our mind. But people, I remember when the Twin Towers fell. It must be God's will. When Hurricane Katrina happened, must be God's will. People all say all kinds of stupid stuff. Christians come out of the woodwork, they talk about how bad God is, and the whole time he says, I'm not the one who steals, kills, and destroys. I'm not the one who does it. Amen? He's not the one who does it. Praise the Lord. We have to get it in our minds that God is not the one who steals. He is not the one who kills. He is not the one who destroys. He is not the one who's removing from us. He's not the builder and the wrecking ball. He is not giving and taking away. That if somebody gave something to you, if I gave you $10, amen, do I have any claim to that $10 anymore? Whose is it? It's yours, amen? If I give you $10 and say, here you go, I've given you this, and you take it home, amen, and you put it in the bank or whatever, or you put it in your wallet, you go home, and I come knocking on your door and say, I want that $10 back. And you say, well, wait a minute, you gave it to me. I say, no, it's mine, I'm taking it back. That's stealing it then, right? Even though I had it in my possession at one time, it's not mine anymore because I gave it away, amen? God is the same way. If God gave and took away, he would be a thief. He would be a thief. We have to get religious thinking out of our mind and think what the Word of God says, not what religion tells us. We need to think in line with the Word, amen? The Word tells us the thief is the one who steals. He's the one who kills. He's the one who destroys, not God. So we need to stop blaming God every time something bad happens. It's not his will. And then we have to understand something. If it's not his will, then we need to get into what his will is. We need to find out what his will is and have that operating in our life. Because I'm going to tell you something. I grew to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm tired of being robbed. I'm tired of being destroyed. I'm tired of being killed. I'm tired of these things coming against me all the time. I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. I want a different life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And many people come to church because they're tired of the same thing. They're tired of being robbed. They're tired of being killed. They're tired of being destroyed. They're tired of watching their life fall apart, right? Praise the Lord. Well, if people are coming to church, they're recognizing that there's something here. There should be something here that's different. They have some kind of hope that's different. And by God, we need to be a church that shows them that something is different, amen? We need to be Christians that show them and something is different. And the whole thing, we're going to see this, the whole thing revolves around the idea that if we believe that God is the thief, then we take that to the world. They see God as a thief and they don't want what we have. And who would blame them? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want a God that gives and takes away. I reject a God that gives and takes away. I said I reject a God that gives. Oh boy, you say that in some circles. Oh, Pastor Jeff, you can't say that. No, I just said I reject a God that gives and takes away because that ain't my God. My God gave me Jesus, and he said, if I give you Jesus, I will also give you all things, he said. He said that, not me. He said, he who gave us Jesus, how will he not with him give us all things? All things. Everybody say all things. All things that are good. That's what it's implying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that's only the first part of the verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at the second part of the verse. Jesus is saying this. Jesus himself is saying this. It's important when we understand that Jesus was saying this. Amen. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Not just I have come that they have life. I didn't just come to give them life. You know, a lot of people think that's what salvation is. And this is how I can say very assuredly that salvation is not just about eternal life. Because that would just be life. But he says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? He's not talking about in the sweet by and by. Why? Because in the sweet by and by, the thief doesn't steal there. In the sweet by and by, he isn't killing there. In the sweet by and by, he isn't destroying there. The devil has no reign in heaven. Amen? So he can't be talking about that, can he? See, if we read the scripture in context, we won't go astray. If we read the scripture the way he meant us to read it, we won't interpret it any other way. Amen? We won't have our own interpretation of it. We will have one interpretation, the same interpretation that he always had for us. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? But see, you can see how fast, if you don't pay attention, you can see how you can get away or get off. Amen? I have come that they may have life. That word life, if we look it up, it means the absolute fullness of life. It means life and worthy of the name of calling it life. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know I've said this before. I'll say it again. I remember my past life. It wasn't life. It was death. Because it wasn't life worth living. It wasn't worthy of the name. It wasn't worthy to call it life. I'm like, because that's why, you know, if you're having life that is worthy of life, you don't put a gun to your head. But I did that kind of stuff. I put a rope around my neck because I wasn't living, I was dying. I was in perpetual dying. But now I'm in perpetual life. I don't do those things anymore. Why? Because I got the truth preached to me, amen? God's will for us, number one will for us is that we have abundant life. He sent Jesus so that we would have abundant life, amen? Praise the Lord. That word abundant, I love this. I looked this up. It means excessive. Abundant means excessive. What's excessive? It's more than enough. Excessive is more than you need. See, some people say, well, God will supply all you need. I can believe that. But there's things that you want that he doesn't necessarily have to supply. You know, we're talking about in context of people who follow God. People who are after God, people who are tithing, people who are giving, people who are going to church, people who are hungry for God, people who are serving, people who are trying to see the promotion. See, you know what? People are like, why do you want to pay off the building so bad? I'll tell you why I want to pay off the building so bad. Because when this building's paid off, it'll be a lot easier to pay off that quarry building. And then when that building's paid off, it's going to be a lot easier to start other churches. Because if you think this is the last two churches that we're going to plant, I'm going to tell you right now, I've already got three more on my heart. Three more in my heart. It doesn't mean it's going to happen this year, but maybe it will. I don't know. Praise the Lord. We'll just follow God in that. But you understand that he there's more God wants to do. He wants to get this work out. He wants to get the word out. He wants the people to stop thinking. The Bible says he's coming back from a glorious church. Well, he can't come back for a glorious church if it's laying in the mud, looking up, crying all the time because they don't know what to do. We don't need churches like that anymore. We got towns that are full of churches like that. And we don't need another church that tells you that God just wants to remove from you. We don't need any more of that garbage. We have enough of those garbage cans, amen? Because that's all they are. If a church is preaching that kind of garbage, it's a garbage can, amen? And it has no, it's not worthy. It's not worthy of having a cross on the door. It's not worthy of being called a church of God. It's not worthy of having God's precious people even spend 1 second in there. Praise the Lord. Oh, it gets me fired up. But I'm telling you what, I have seen so many people destroyed because of religion. I have seen so many lives destroyed because of religion. Because somebody won't just get in the Word and find out what it says and then preach it no matter what it says because they know that it's the Word of God. It's about time that we get people that are bold, that stand in a pulpit and say, you know what? I don't care what the world says. This is what the Word of God says. I don't care what people think. This is what the Word of God says. I don't care what your ministerial organization is saying. This is what the Word of God says. Amen? I don't care what your denomination says. I'm not against denominations, but when they start talking against the Word of God, then I get against them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. I was telling you what that meant. We didn't even get there yet. Praise the Lord. Excessive abundant means. It means beyond measure. Hallelujah. Superfluous. Did I say that right? Superfluous. Oh, I like that word, superfluous. That sounds like something you can say real excited like. Amen? Oh, that's superfluous. Praise the Lord. Almost can't even say it. Praise the Lord. But you know where I'm getting at. Hey. Remember, this is what you get with a good enough diploma. Amen. That's a GED if you didn't know. Praise the Lord. I didn't graduate high school, but I graduated from the school of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm going back for extra classes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I stayed after for extra studying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Superfluous means unnecessary, especially through being more than enough. Yeah. Unnecessary. God is a God of unnecessary. I'm telling you, God is a God of unnecessary. That should make somebody happy in this place. Man, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is the God of unnecessary. He didn't need to make 1,000 different kinds of trees, thousands of different kinds of trees. He didn't need to make different kinds of climates, and he didn't need to make different kinds of grasses and different flowers. He didn't need to make different kinds of birds and different kinds of people. He didn't need to make duck-billed platypuses and elephants and giraffes. He didn't need to make all this stuff, but he did. Why? Because he's an excessive God. He didn't need to make mountains and hills and then valleys. He didn't need to make rivers that were this big and then this big. He didn't need to make lakes and ponds and oceans all the other things that are out there, praise the seas and all that stuff. God didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do it. It was just because he was bored saying, well, I need something else to make, so boom. No. The Bible says that he created everything in that day. Everything that we see was created in that time. You know, on the earth is what I'm talking about. All the animals were created then. Yeah, he didn't need to. And then he didn't need to make variations within them, did he? You know, you could have made it, you could have seen it. Have you ever seen like a Dalmatian? But have you ever seen two with the same spots? Do you know every one of our fingerprints is different? God didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. He knows who we are, every single one of them. He's an excessive God. He's an excessive God. Amen? He didn't, you know, you go up the East Coast, if you start up in Maine and you start driving down, you see it change all the way down the floor. It's different all the way along. And then you go to the West Coast and you see something different, amen? And then you go over to Ireland and you see something different over there. You go over to Sweden, you see something different over there. See, God didn't have to make it all, he didn't have to make it all different, but he did. Because he's an excessive God. The Bible tells us in Romans 1, it tells us that God, that what can be known of God can be seen in creation. I love that. He's excessive. Everything is different. Every town is different. Every layout. When we drive through, you know, we like to drive through towns, and I don't like to take the highways. I always like to take an extra couple hours and go the back roads, amen? Because I like to see things. And every time I'm somewhere, I'm like, man, what? How beautiful is this? And it's a little hidden gem in the middle of nowhere that almost nobody knows about. Praise the Lord. We're still finding them around here. There's still places. There's waterfalls that people don't go to. There, you know, people, you have probably millions of people a year that go to Niagara Falls. And yet we have waterfalls that are huge all over the place that nobody even knows about. Why? Because God is an excessive God. He creates excessively. Amen? He's an abundant God. That's what abundance is. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Excessive. See, because they didn't live an excessive life before then. The Jews understood some of this stuff. When the Jews were taken out of Egypt, when God was taking the Jews out of Egypt, what happened? The Egyptians gave them money, gold, silver, so much so they could barely carry it. Do you know the wealth of the Egyptians was so huge when they left Egypt? They were slaves. They walked out of their slavery richer than Bill Gates. Each one of them. I mean, they were loaded. This is how God sent them out of their captivity. When were we broken out of captivity? Through Jesus. Amen. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Do you understand who your God is yet? Do you understand what God wants to do in you yet? See, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're living where you can just barely get along, if you're living constantly never knowing what you're going to do, you are not living in God's will. I am not saying you're a bad person. I am not saying that you're so full of sin that you're horrible and deserving of death. I'm saying you're not in God's will. God's will, Jesus' will, was that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Listen, this stuff doesn't, I'm not talking about overnight. It's not as simple as you put an offering in the offering bucket or you give somebody some money and then all of a sudden you're rich. That's not the way that it works. God wants people who are living faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to live by faith. But see, people can't have faith when they're always looking at the bottom line and say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Jesus says, don't worry. I can tell you tons of people. I was there. We were there ourselves. There was a time when we didn't know how we were going to feed our kids. We had no idea how we were going to feed. Jesus said, don't worry about that. I had the scripture then. I had those same scriptures then. But see, there's a difference what faith got built in me. Because once faith starts getting built in you, you start increasing, you start climbing out. Faith will lift you out. It will start bringing you up. It will bubble to the top. Hallelujah. Because that's what God intends. Amen. Praise the Lord. We haven't even got through one scripture yet. Hallelujah. Abundant life is not automatic. It must be received. Just as salvation is not automatic. It must be received. You can receive salvation. You can have faith for salvation. Say, yes, I believe Jesus wants to save me, but then not have faith for anything else. You can't look at any of the other promises of God. The Bible is full, and that's what we're talking about, because we're talking about the will of God. We're talking about the promises. Today, we're just talking about abundant life. We're in the following weeks, we're going to be talking about other aspects. We're going to talk about God's healing and what he says about healing. Through the word. We're going to talk about increase and see what God talks about increase. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because God, the Bible says that you should be in a place where there is enough left over to give into every good work. That all your needs are supplied with enough left over to give into every good work. Well, what's a good work? Hey, we're going to start another church. We need money to start this church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Do you know the money? I'm just going to share this. It's going to be real with you. But the money, there's people that promise things about the quarry work. But you know the money that comes in to support that work is very little. It doesn't even cover the cost. Not even close to the cost. I'm saying not even close to the cost. That's because somebody else figures, well, somebody else is covering it. Somebody else is doing it. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's the way that it is. I'm not saying that everybody, see, people don't bring faith. They don't care about the work of God. Because if you cared about it, you would do it. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So if you cared about it, you'd be doing something about it. If you cared about the lives in Corey, you'd be sowing into it. I don't care if it's a dollar a week. I don't care if that's all that you could do, if that's all you could find. I don't care if that's what it is. That's something. That's worth something. But there's people that don't do anything. There's people that say, well, you know, somebody else is going to take care of it. That's the ministry. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the ministry. Because we can have our numbers drop or go up and down, and you know what's funny? The offering stays about the same. Oh, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Why is it? You talk about offering because God wants abundance for his people, but they have to receive it. They have to walk in it. They have to do the things that bring you out of it, into it. If you want more, you have to sow. If you don't want to sow, you ain't going to get more. Plain and simple. Praise the Lord. If you won't tithe, if you won't do something simple as tithe. I talked to some pastors in Corey. Pastors of churches that are five times bigger than this church, and the pastors still have to work full-time jobs. They can't focus on the ministry. But there's not even enough coming in to supply the ministry because they won't teach about tithing. That tells me the first thing right there. They won't teach about tithing. Well, people get mad about tithing. I don't care if people get mad about tithing or not. Change my life, and it'll change anybody's life. I have never seen somebody who's a faithful tither lose. I have never seen somebody who's a faithful tither and giver that falls behind. Never seen it. We started doing it when we had nothing. I mean, we had absolutely nothing. Why do we have something today? Because we do the word of God. That's all there is to it. Praise. Well, that's free, no charge, but it's the truth. Listen, I don't say these things to condemn people or get people mad at me or whatever. I mean, you don't have to do it, but you don't ask me. And that's probably why I don't get asked, but don't ask me when you're going through problems. You know, tell you the truth. I've gotten really callous to a lot of things being a pastor. And not because I don't love, I love people, that's why I do this. But I get callous to people who time and time again won't do the word and then they don't have what the word says. It's not my fault. I preach the word every week. My wife or I preach the word every single week. We come with the word, we come lay it out, and people still reject it. I've even heard it said that people have even told their kids, well, you know, that thing that pastor says, you know, well, we don't necessarily do that. And that's okay because it's in the Word. That's okay that you teach them that, but then you teach them by teaching them that, you're teaching them everything else I say is up for, you know. Maybe it's true or maybe it's not. Well, if it's out of the Word, it's true. And if you're going to teach them it's not because you don't want to do it, ooh, there's the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to start throwing something at me. Praise the Lord. But that's the truth. If you want to teach them, you know, we got to teach our kids right. And the first way we teach them is by example. Don't think they're not watching. You don't even have to say anything. Because sometimes people are saying that just by what they do. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but that's the truth. But this is the difference between Christians who will rise to the top and Christians who won't. I'll tell you right now, the family churches are full of Christians who are prospering. There are full of Christians who are going, that came in, their marriages were broken apart, falling apart, and they're going ahead. They're now having lives that are blessed. I just talked to a good friend of mine in the Jamestown Church, praise the Lord. He started doing this one thing as a hobby, led by the Lord, come into church, start tithing, start giving, start being faithful to church, start serving, all this stuff, comes into church, and guess what happens? This thing that he was doing for a hobby, all of a sudden it's exploding. He quits his job. He's doing this every day. I see him in Walmart one day, and he comes up to me, biggest smile on his face. Biggest smile on his face. And he's like, I'm blessed. I do what I want to do. I'm getting paid to do what I want to do. I'm enjoying what I do. How many people are miserable in their jobs? Hallelujah. See, you put the work of God at the forefront, and you watch, business will take off. You watch, ideas will come to you that you didn't know about before. This is how good our God is. See, God ain't going to rain down money out of heaven. It don't work like that. But what the Bible does promise is it promises us favor. It promises, oh, praise God, hallelujah. I got to get into some scripture. I got to get going here. But, you know, hey, this is all out of abundant life. Amen. I ain't never spent this much time on the scripture, but I love it. I spend all day in the scripture. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just getting people to see the truth. You know, God wants us to have abundant life. That it does not mean that God wants us to be excessive. He does not want us to be. This is big. I'm going to say this. He does not want us to be covetous. That means if your focus is money, that's what you're not going to have. God ain't going to bless you with it. Amen? If you're giving just to get more, you ain't going to give it. But if you say, Lord, I want to be part of your work, He's going to take care of you like you ain't ever been taken care of. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You want to hear a really good message, a really good balanced prosperity message, you need to tune into Family Church Jamestown last Wednesday's service. You need to listen to that. My pastor probably preached an awesome. She'll share it on Facebook. That's where it'll be. You can find a link to it. Praise the Lord. But I'm just telling you right now, God wants you blessed. He wants you full. But there's things that come along with that. It's not just, the Bible says you ask, you have not because you ask not. It says this in James, I think around the fifth chapter. He says, you have not because you ask not. But if you ask and don't have, it's because you wanted to spend it on your own lusts, it's like if people, I got to get there because there's a lot of goodness in this. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Praise God. You have to be so sure of His will that when you hear something opposite, it's immediately sour to you. We need to immediately hear it. I can listen to a preacher preaching. He'd be preaching real good, and all of a sudden they'll say something. I'll be like, ooh, that's not God's will. How do I know? Because I know the Word. Amen. I know the Word. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand. God would not tell us to understand what the will of God is if we could not do it. We can't, He wouldn't have told us if we could not do it. Amen. When I come to the Word, I'm excited because I know every time I do, He opens it up to me. That's why it's not hard for me to read the Bible, because every time I get in there, He gives me a revelation of it. Amen. It takes it deeper. It makes me more full. Hallelujah. You want to talk about full? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. When my wife and I started working on this church, there was a lot of things we had to learn about faith. But when we started the work in this building in particular, one thing that we knew is we wanted to live in this area. We knew we were called to live in this area. We knew we had to move up into this area. And I'm going to tell you right now, we didn't know how we were going to do it, because the house that we left in Jamestown was a lot less than any of the really nice houses, or even the real low houses here. A lot less. And we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we believed God. And I'm going to tell you what happened. And this is not by the church, by the way. It's not because the church did it, praise the Lord. Because I still hold to this. As of right now, I still make less than I did 10 years ago when I wasn't even serving at the church. So it's not like the church is paying for everything for us. So it's not like your tithes and your offerings is not changing what my income is. I have a board that determines what my income is. And for the past 3 years, I've turned down raises. Praise the Lord. There's other things I've gotten, a few bonuses and stuff like that, but I've turned down raises because I want to see the work of the Lord go. Praise the Lord. There's things I've been offered that the church can't even do financially. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. How would you like that? You know, most people get a job, they get a raise, and they think, oh yeah, they don't even question. Well, is it okay on the finances? Is it okay to do that? I consider those things. Amen. Praise the Lord, because I can accept or deny a raise. Why do I say all that? Because when the Lord was leading us up here, we didn't know how we were going to do it. So we come into this town. We knew that one thing we did know, and I had this direction specifically, that I had to get this church in a building, because we were in a storefront. I had to get this church in a building first. And I had 30 people. in the church at that time, about 30 people roughly. And I'm like, okay. So we started looking for a building. We started looking for a building. We believed God for it. Finally, this building opened up, and it was a large project. This building cost us a lot more money than I had ever spent in my life. Amen? I had never even considered spending this much money on anything before in my life, and that's what I spent here to do it. And I say I spent here because this is all done on my good faith and my good credit. What's done on your credit was done on my credit. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I had to have good credit because they wouldn't give, you know, the church got a credit card? They do it on my credit. Yeah, absolutely. So if the church don't pay that credit card, guess whose credit gets bothered? Mine. You see, you all think you're connected. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm not getting the benefits from that. Hallelujah. I'm not saying I go with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you the way that it actually works. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at any rate, we come in, we gotta start this work. And I knew before we were gonna get a house up here, before we could focus on our home up here, we had to focus on getting this church into a building. And so that's what we did. And we moved into this church building, and this church building needed a lot of work. Everything you see, it's all brand new. It wasn't here before, praise the Lord. In fact, there was stuff that was here that I had with a group of people had to take out, but I was here every day, 12 to 15 hours a day, praise the Lord. That's what I did for 4 months straight. There was one point when I was standing just outside that wall, just past my Aunt Jean there. Everybody say hi, Aunt Jean. Praise the Lord. I was just out there, and I was looking up at the wall, and I looked around, and I thought, I am way too far into this to back out now. I literally felt like that. I remember a Friday when I lost all my help standing here by myself, and we had about a few weeks to get done, and there was a lot of things to get done, and I looked around, and I'm like, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Where is it? Where is it all? I'm telling you, these things weigh on you. I remember coming home so at night, so I couldn't lift anything with this shoulder because of holding the air nailer from nailing and nailing and nailing and nailing all day long. Praise the Lord. But that's I focus on the work. I'm building on something here. Believe me, I'm taking you there with me. I'm not saying feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me because God's got my back. Hallelujah. If there's anything I do not want to do, I work harder for God because I know how He blesses. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you don't muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain. Praise the Lord. So he ain't muzzling this ox. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So at any rate, we knew that we had to get into a house, but we knew that it wasn't going to happen until after this. Do you know, within just a few months after this, we bought a house that we never, ever thought we could afford. Ever. And it wasn't because, it was just because the Lord opened up doors for us. The favor of God surrounded us. And everything worked out for us to get into that house. And when we first got into that house, we thought we're never going to eat out again. We're never gonna go anywhere. I've done more this last year, and our income hasn't increased. In fact, my wife even makes less because all these dues and all these other things that come out, they raise everything else except her pay. It didn't match. So my wife and me make less than we did even last year. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And God is increasing us. Well, how does He do that? It isn't because I'm skimming off the top. I don't even know what the finances generally are. The only thing I've told my wife when she takes care of the logistics, the only thing I told her is that if there's a problem, I need to know about it. You know, if it's too low or too high. Praise the Lord. It's never too high. Hallelujah. But if it's too low, I mean, I want to rejoice. You know, if somebody's going to write a check, they're going to pay off the church. I want to know so I can dance too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you all dancing by yourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what my point is this, is that when we take care of God's house, He takes care of us. He always does. He will find a way. You will get things that you will get things that you shouldn't get. You will get people will bless you that never wanted to bless. We've been serving God for years. We have never had to buy one stitch of clothing for this precious little girl here. She's going to be turning 10 here pretty soon. We have never had to buy one stitch of clothing. There's somebody in another church who has a connection with somebody who provides them with lots of really nice clothes. Praise the Lord. And she is just that little girl is just in front of my little girl, and they've always passed them. I'm talking barely used clothes, name brand clothes, really nice ones. We never paid a stitch for it. Not for one stitch. Amen. I don't know about you, but that excites me. See, that's living in the favor of God. Hallelujah. That's the abundance of God. That's how God works. That's how when you work for Him, He works for you. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where's the time going? When I come to the Word, I'm excited because I know every time I do, He opens it to me. I'm going to share one more scripture with you before we turn to another one. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're not destroyed because of the enemy. They're not destroyed because of this. They're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. What is it saying? It's because people don't know, and what you don't know can hurt you. Because, but now look at this. This is the next part, because this also does apply to people who should know. Because you have rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge. There are people that sit in the same church services as you and I do that reject knowledge all the time. And that's why they are destroyed. Because they don't have knowledge. They're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They don't have it because they rejected it. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests before me. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are kings and priests, by the way. This is Old Testament, but now you're a priest. But he said, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests before me. You won't walk in the blessing that I give you. You won't walk in the things that I've set aside for you because you've rejected knowledge. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Whoa. Yeah, your kids will be affected by it. Absolutely. Our kids are affected. What do you think keeps driving? You know what drives me? My number one driving force of why I want to do right? Because I know that these three precious kids right here, these three precious parts of my life, the ones that I have given my entire life for, amen? I know that if I walk away, if I don't serve God, that they are all affected by it. The amount that you serve God is the amount that will affect or not affect your children, their lives. Yeah, absolutely. So every time you want to compromise, you want to ask yourself that. Can my family afford it? Every time you want to back off and not serve God, every time you want to just go your own way and do your own thing, you got to ask yourself, the ones I love, can they afford it? The ones I'm believing for, can they afford it? Because it doesn't just affect your children. It actually spreads out and affects everyone. Praise the Lord. Now, can the children ever get out of that? Sure, once they get old enough and they can start following God. But until children are old enough, they're under the umbrella of their parents. Yeah. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to bring up one more, and just for time's sake, because then I'm going to have you turn. Romans 12:2. Just go ahead. And you should take notes. You should write these down and remember them later, or go back and listen to it later. Amen. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We always talk about that. But look at here. This is what I wanted to focus on. That you may prove. Say, I may prove. See, it's about you, what you do. To see if you will prove, right? That you may prove, that you may figure out what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason I bring this scripture up, you have to understand something. There is the good, there is the acceptable, and then there is the perfect will of God. You can be in the perfect will of God and have the perfect will of God, all the things that come with that, flowing in your life. You can be in the acceptable will of God, which means God will accept it even though it's not his perfect will. There's a lot of Christians that live there. They're just in his acceptable will because they won't go all the way. You know, the Bible says that there's different levels of what people will increase. Jesus said that some will increase 30, some 60, some 100. What makes a 100-fold person is somebody who's in the perfect will. If you're not in his perfect will, you can't be a 100-fold increased person. You can't do it. That's why people that come into church and listen, you don't have to know everything to be in his perfect will. You don't have to be like well advanced in your faith to be in his perfect will. All you have to do is be willing. When God speaks, that you listen. When God moves you, you move instead of rejecting it. Every time we reject what the word says, Bible says, every time we reject what God has told us to do, we reject his perfect will. Amen? You cannot be in God's perfect will not being in church. You can't do it. Why? Because it's the first thing that Jesus did for us. He gave us a pastor, gave us a church. You cannot be in God's perfect will not having a pastor. How do you know you have a pastor? Well, first of all, you're in church. If you're not in church, you don't have a pastor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do I have something if it's never around me? No. If I don't have $1 million in the bank, I can't say I'm a millionaire, can I? Why? Because I don't got $1 million in the bank. I don't have $1 million laying anywhere. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have it. Amen? Well, the same thing goes with everything else. Amen? You know, you try that with anything else and see how it works. Well, you know, I'm not going to eat for the next month. But I'm not going to be hungry because I'm full. Well, I say that would last for all of what one meal before you're like, wait a minute, I'm kind of hungry here. No, but I'm full. You don't understand, I'm full. No, you can't. Listen. But see, just being in church doesn't make you any better off either because you got to receive it. You got to receive what's being spoken. You got to receive what the Word of God. Do you think, and the reason they think this, I'll tell you what, a lot of people think people just stand up here and speak. And the reason they think that a lot of people just stand up here and speak is because they go to a place where people just stand up there and speak. But I seek God for the word. I seek God for what he wants to say. What God has given me every week is for every person who's supposed to sit here. Yeah. There are people that aren't sitting here today that aren't receiving what God has for them, and they want God's blessing in their life, but they will not have it because they've rejected his number one of his number one commandments, which is, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Yeah, people think the church just says, yeah, I could take it or leave it. Well, if you can take it or leave it, then you can take it or leave everything else God has for you. Listen, I said this in Jamestown, and I say this again. I can't pray stupid out of people. I can't pray stupid. I can't pray when people reject the word. It's stupid. It's stupidity. I don't care what it is. Whatever the word says, if people reject it, it's stupidity. I'm not saying it to be mean or to be controversial or to sound bold, but when you reject the word, it's stupid. I can't pray that out of you. I can't fix you. I can't fix what you're dealing with. I can't fix what you're going through. If you reject the word and reject the word and reject the word, my prayers have no effect. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know I'm glad you're excited, but see, God wants us to have abundant life. I want us to have abundant life. I want every person in this church to be so, you know why? Because it shows God's goodness when you're walking in it, amen? And it proves to all the fools out there that God really is real. See, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth, amen? So what are we in? Are we in God's acceptable will? Are we in his perfect will? Praise the Lord. I was in a marriage once that was not God's perfect will, but it was his acceptable will. He accepted it because I wanted it and because I wouldn't do anything else. I tried to stay, but you know what? In that place, I couldn't ever be the fullness of what he wanted me to do. And that eventually fell apart. God blessed it. He honored it because I begged him, and God will do that. That's why I've learned that you just don't ask God for everything specific. Lord, what's your will? Find out what his will is. Lord, who do you have? Tell my son. He's in that marrying age. You know, he's kind of entered that realm where he could get married. You know, it wouldn't be totally weird or anything, you know. But I told him, find out who God has for you. Don't just marry anybody, because who you marry matters. You know, who you marry is going to determine where you go. I'm telling you what, I couldn't be here without my wife. Yeah, that's the truth. I couldn't be. God knew that, and that's why he got her over to me. Amen? That's why he bamboozled her. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:17. Okay? Maybe we'll take a few more weeks. I don't know. Ephesians 1:17. I got to find Ephesians. That used to be in my Bible. Hallelujah. There we are. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:17. We'll read through verse 19. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? So this is what Paul was praying for, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you the spirit of wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes, so what you understand. Yeah, have you ever had those eureka moments? That's the eyes of your understanding. That's when, like, oh, wait a minute. That's what that meant. Hallelujah, I get that now. Well, praise the Lord. This is what he's praying for. Being enlightened to something specific. This is a eureka moment that Paul was hoping you would have. That you may know. Everybody say no. No, no is when you know. No is not when you, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what God wants. Maybe God wants, no, you know it. You, when you know something, nobody can tell you differently. Amen? Praise the Lord. If we have any older gentlemen in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know stuff. You know stuff, ain't nobody going to tell you differently. You know what I'm saying? Ain't always good, but you know. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. As I'm pressing towards that goal of being older, amen, I'm learning more and more that I know more than I did when I was, I like knowing. Amen? But when you know, you know. You ain't got no, nobody going to tell you differently. You know. Yeah. I know. Amen. I know this. Don't tell me I know. Don't try to come against me. I know. Amen? This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to know. Paul wanted you to know. That's why he prayed about it. Yeah. That you would know what is the hope. Remember that word hope, and whenever it's used in Bible, means expectation. That's what God means by hope. It's not like, oh, I hope this happens, but it means his expectation. To know what the expectation of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Wow. You can chew on that for a while. That's a scripture you need to chew on. You need to take that home, go over again, chew on it, spit it out, pick it back up, put it back in your mouth, chew on it again, swallow a little bit, spit it out, pick it back up, put it back. I mean, you got to chew on this, amen? You got to get what he's talking about. He wants us to know some things. Listen, as your pastor, I want you to know some things. The reason I do this is so people will know some things. Why? Because somebody taught me some things, and now I know some things. And I tell you what, I like knowing and not, instead of not knowing, because I spend a lot of time not knowing. Knowing is much better. Knowing is much better, amen? Especially when you know what I know now. When you get to know what I know now, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to know anything else because you're full of knowledge, hallelujah. You got some stuff, you're like, glory to God. When you know that God is good, when you start sensing that God is good, when you just get that little bit, when I remember when I first got that little bit, wait a minute, God's good. Wait a minute, God will meet me. Wait a minute, God, I can experience God. I can know God. I can be enraptured with God. I can know what the kingdom of God is. Wait a minute, it's not just some fairy tale that we talk about. We don't just have some Santa Claus God that we never see, but this is a real God, and we only got to put cookies out for him. Hallelujah, he's coming anyway. He's going to be here not just once a year, but he's here every single day, every morning when I wake up. That God, he's right there with me. Hallelujah. When I go to bed, that God is right there with me. Wait a minute, that God lives on the inside of me. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why I said chew on it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Praise the Lord. My daughter gave me a little piece. She said, hey, Dad, you want some gum? And I'm like, I don't know. She said, it's a grape gum. I said, yeah, I do. Hallelujah. So she opened the container. I took one of those pieces of grape. I love grape gum. You remember that? Now when we were kids, we had bubble yum. You remember that? Oh, man, wasn't that good? You pop a piece of that in your mouth. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? You can just close your eyes and chew on that bubble yum. He's going to call it bubble yum for a reason. You blow a big bubble, so take it back in, yum, chewing on that. And it was so good, you know, for about 30 seconds or so, right? And then the grape was gone. And what do? You take it out, you throw it away, and you get another piece. Praise the Lord. My daughter saw me like a few minutes later. She's like, where's the gum? And I said, well, I spit it out. I see, I chew on it real hard for the first minute or so, get all that flavor out of it, amen? But that's what God wants. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Chew on, oh yeah, this is good stuff. Oh, yeah, Pastor, you're preaching real good. Yeah, you just get it. Oh yeah, you swish it around, amen. You get it. You get those juices flowing, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, glory to God. I used to, when I was a teenager, I was stupid. Hallelujah. And I used to get this chewing tobacco in this pouch, and they called it Red Man chewing tobacco, you know, and you reach in there and you pull out a big gob of that stuff and you sit it in your mouth and you chew on it, you know, and it would juice up. And we used to do bad time, and we used to, a lot of people did it, and if you were in a room in school that had carpet, well, praise the Lord, the carpet acted as a sponge for the chewing tobacco. Praise God. Oh, yeah, it was terrible. And I remember this one time when I had this drafting class, and I was sitting in there, and I'd put one in before, and the teacher was kind of clueless. How was he clueless? Well, because I had a big wad like that in my mouth, and he never knew what I was doing. But I had a big, big wad of that stuff in my mouth, and I was chewing, and I remember the teacher that day decided to do a little bit of lecture. Instead, he normally didn't do that. And so he was going to stand in front of the class and do a lecture. Well, he's standing there looking at you all day, can't very well spit on the floor, can you? Well, I got this big wad of this stuff in my mouth, and I'm chewing it, and I can't swallow it either. I mean, that stuff was pretty strong stuff. I mean, real strong stuff. And so I'm standing there, my belly's starting to turn a little bit, and he's up there talking and talking and talking, and he turns around, and this is my opportunity. Right when he turns around, I go to the side and just spit. But what I didn't see is my buddy had walked up. My buddy had walked up to talk to me right at that point then, too. And this is the day in the light blue jeans, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Oh, he didn't stay very long for a conversation. He just gave me a disgusted look, turned around, walked back to his seat. Praise the Lord. I don't know, but chewing on it. When we chew on the wood, we got to get the juices out of it, amen? We want to chew on the taste and see that the Lord is good. We get the full flavor out of it. We don't just do it by just running by it on Sunday once in a while and say, oh, yeah, he preached that scripture. No, we take it and we chew on it, get everything out. I know that was gross, but praise the Lord, we made it through anyway, amen? Praise God. But this is the thing we have to understand, amen? This is the thing we have to understand. Increase isn't only about us. Our increase. And this is, see, we can believe, it's hard to believe sometimes that God would do it for you. But when we understand why God would want us increase, what the true purpose of us increasing is for, then it makes it a lot clearer and it's a lot easier to swallow. Amen? When we understand. Increase isn't only about us, it's about the church. Once you realize this, both will be blessed. Amen. Once you realize that God wants to increase you, and there's many scriptures, and hopefully we'll get into some, not today, but we'll get into some coming up. There's many scriptures that talk about that you are increased to increase. You're increased to increase others, to increase the church. You know, when we plant, like when we planted the Corey Church, that was about reaching these other people that we have yet to reach. You know, down in Corey, such wonderful people. God, there's lots of Christians. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a lot of really, really horrible teaching. A lot of bad teaching. And there's a lot of instability. How do you know bad teaching? Listen, I ain't picking on anybody in particular. I'm just saying this, that the preaching of the word, the true word, will always bring stability. It evens out the rough places. What was John the Baptist's job to do? And this is, by the way, the same direction the Lord gave me early on, and I never connected it to just recently. But John the Baptist, his way, his purpose was to make straight the paths of the Lord, to straighten out the crooked places. Amen? Why? Because the preaching of the gospel will straighten us out. It will get us to stop being up, down, left, right, all over the place. Don't you see, have you ever seen Christians that are like that? They never know what to do. Right? They're like, oh, well, maybe we'll try this. Maybe we'll try this. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that. There's no stability in that. There's no stability in the programs or the ups and downs. I lived that way as a Christian. Listen, God wants us even out. He wants us even keeled. The Bible always brings us stability. But where I got on this was because Corey needs that. There's a lot of wonderful hearted, good hearted Christians. But just in a few conversations with them, I realized how squirrely some of them are. They're just out there. They're off. And that's the way that I was. And that I have a heart for that. Amen? I want to help people get out of that stuff. But see, it doesn't happen because the government surely is not funding our churches. Right. You know, the last time I checked, in fact, I'll tell you what, New York State didn't like that there was another church. Mayville didn't like there was another church. They didn't want us to give us our legal rights to tax exemptions. They didn't want to give it to us because we don't need another church. We don't want to give that to you. And there's people that hate the church because they get things like that because they can, well, that's not right. See, they're not lining up, if you haven't seen, they're not lining up on the street corners trying to give churches money anymore. There was a day when the towns built the churches, whether people went to them or not. And nowadays, I'm going to tell you what, the only money that's in churches is what people bring. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. The work of the Lord does not get done except by the hands of his people. Praise God. That's why we are all in. That's why my wife and I, we sow into the works. We give into the works. We do what we have to do for the works. And that's why we're blessed. Amen. And we're supposed to lead the work. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share something with you just a little bit. In this area of the country, but in this area in particular, there is a very strong poverty mindset. If you get outside of this area, if you go out to the West Coast or a lot of other areas in the country, you're going to find people think very differently than we think here. Around here, people get tripped up over $20. There's places where thousands of dollars means nothing in this country. Why is that? It's because the devil is the thief. And the worst way he steals from people is he gets them thinking off. See, if $1,000 means a lot to us, if it's a big, and I'm just using it as a number, not because, but really, it shouldn't be anything to a child of God, any child of God. It shouldn't be something that moves them. Why? Why do I say that? Well, because the average monthly mortgage or rent is nearing that in most places. Actually, if you go outside of this area, it's far greater than that. Our friends that planted the church in Tonawanda, their rent was $2,500 a month. And that was before even utilities or anything. So, you know what I'm saying? So as we expand out, you know, to think about that, I remember the Lord had to bigger my thinking because I told you when we came here, even the amount, this building cost $200,000, $207,000 to buy this building. We had to put another $70,000 into it initially. We still have to put about another $70,000 into it. When I first got going, I couldn't even fathom those numbers. Why? Because that's what I was around. Do you know that when I went down to Corey and I found out that we could get a building for $200,000, I like just about came out of my skin like, come on, let me at it. Let me at it. It's nothing. See, God will increase us as we increase. He'll increase our thinking. It's not about the numbers per se. What it is about believing God for the need. And see, if we know that our God's an abundant God, then whatever the need is, he's always going to meet that. But to meet that need, it takes the people hooking up in faith because God will only do things through people. Everything he does. We present the gospel. Do you know that angels cannot even present the gospel to people? Angels aren't even allowed to. Angels are real. They are not allowed to deliver the gospel that was meant for humans. Humans are the ones. Humans are the ones that Jesus sent out. In fact, Jesus said when they send you out, he said when he sent his disciples out to each town, he said, if they receive you, now I'm going to go into greater detail. He said, if they receive you, he said, then stay there and be a blessing to them. But if they don't receive you, kick the dirt off your heels and walk out. And it will be worse for them in the end days than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Sodom and Gomorrah are the ones that were destroyed by fire, you remember. What do you mean by receive them? Well, he sent them. He said, I sent you out with nothing. I sent you out with nothing. Jesus sent his disciples out into these towns with nothing. They were supposed to, the Bible says that those who preach by the gospel should live by the gospel. Yeah, the gospel should fund itself. It should be, the churches should be self-sustaining. You know, a lot of these denominations, what they have the benefit of is they have a larger organization. And in some areas, you go to California and you have all these mega churches, you know, where people bring in this money and the extra goes to the other churches. You know what I mean? And they balance it out, because you take some of these small towns, these churches could survive on 10 people that don't give anything. Seriously, I mean, they just couldn't, because just the maintenance alone would be staggering, you know. Praise the Lord. But increase isn't just about us. God can bless you, cannot bless you beyond your willingness to connect to his work. You aren't connected by throwing scraps of whatever. I love this. We don't have these for a specific reason. We don't want people's garbage in here. Yeah, a lot of people think, well, I'll bring my garbage to the church, unload it on the church, and you know they're going to have a rummage sale or whatever. People bring broken everything and throw it down in front of the church and say, oh, well, we've had that. But when we first started, we had people that were like trying to give us everything they were clearing out of their basement. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't want your junk. Well, because I'll take it to the church and I'll have to throw it out. I have to pay to get rid of it. Why would I want it? That's not a blessing to the church. You know, I mean, seriously, they give you broken toys, you know, like a truck that's supposed to have four wheels and it's got three wheels. And I'm going to tell you, these kids aren't stupid. They know, right? These kids are stupid. They'll go in the play and they're like, wait a minute, where's the fourth wheel? You gotta have a fourth wheel. I don't want to play with that. Then all the kids are fighting over the ones before. We see kids know. And if kids know, we should know, amen? If something's broken, throw it away. It's garbage. It's worthless, amen? I used to be that guy. I used to save chunks of 2x4 that long. I used to. I used to have stacks and stacks of 2x4s that long. Wow, well, you never know when you're gonna need it, right? I had that mentality about me. What do I do with it now? I burn it. Yeah. I get rid of it. I throw it out. Why? Because if I need a 2x4, I'm going to go to the store, spend $3 and get an 8-foot one. Yeah. Amen? They can cut up as many chunks as I want. You know, we got to get out of this thinking that well, why do we say it? Poverty mentality. It's that idea that, well, you know, I might need it, and God forbid I have to go to the store and spend another $3. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I had to learn that through this process. We had, and Save just gives you this. We had all the ceiling out there is all that track. Well, this whole place was covered with that. And we didn't want the sanctuary being with that. We wanted nicer ceilings in here. But we knew that we were going to reuse some of the track in the rest of the building. And so we tore down all the track, and I told all the guys, now be very careful with this stuff that's like, you know, 50 years old, because we're going to reuse it, right? Okay, all right, Pastor Jeff, whatever you say. So we took it down real gingerly like, and we stacked it up. I think the first place was over here. And we had it stacked up over here. And after we danced around it, worked around it, hurt ourselves around it, we moved it over here. And then after we did that for a little while, we moved it over here. And then we moved it out there. And we got towards the end of the building project, and I was tired of moving it around, and I was tired of all the stuff, and some things had gotten worked in me. And I'm like, you know what? We're throwing all that garbage out. See, it took you, sometimes it takes you some time because, you know, listen, I'm not saying, if you say something that's good, fine, save it. I'm not saying that's bad. But listen, let's not keep up garbage around our lives because we might use it someday. But a lot of Christians have that thinking. They think, well, you see, God is a God. So God, you know, God made things, and like he made things in abundance. When the food, when he fed the multitude, it was more than 5,000. A lot of people think it's just 5,000, but the Bible clearly says it's more than 5,000. 5,000 men plus the women and children, it said. So we know that it was way more than 5,000, because probably it was at least double that. But at any rate, he feeds all these people with just a little bit, and what was left over after the miracle? Multitudes. He said they took up baskets of the extra. Why do you suppose God does that? Because he wants to show us he's a more than enough God. He's an abundant God. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it wasn't just enough to feed the people. It was more than enough. It overflowed. Amen. Praise the Lord. When, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Give and it will be given to you. That's what the Bible says. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. That means you're taking all the air bubbles out. You're getting all the room out. You're going to fill that up. Press it down. And then it's going to be running over. Give and it will be given to you. Amen. When Joseph in the land of, when he was in the land of Egypt and God told him to save up so much for the coming famine, and he was placed in charge of the land in the Egypt there, and he saved up. There was an abundance. It was overflowing abundance that he could feed people. Then they all came to Egypt. And what did they do when they came to Egypt? They came and they said, we need food. We'll give you our land. We'll give you everything we need. They just kept giving it, and it increased in the land of famine. Hallelujah. Isaac sowed in the land of famine. God is a God of abundance. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a God of overflowing. He's a God of more than enough. God wants you to have more than enough. He does. But God is not a God of covetous. He doesn't want you to be covetous. You are suffering from covetousness, then you have a problem. And what does that mean? Your focus is always money. Well, I'm going to give so I get more. That's not what you understand. There's a difference in thinking. God is not against wealth. He's made many people wealthy. He made Solomon the richest man. Some people think Jesus was poor, and it's stupid to think that because the Bible tells us otherwise. It shows us otherwise. Amen. Well, I'll give you one example. He had a robe that nobody else had, and it was so precious because it was made out of one piece of fabric. You know, people, everybody's got this picture of Jesus with torn, ragged. They fought over his robe. They cast lots over his robe. They wouldn't even tear it because it was so precious. And it distinctly tells us because it was one piece of fabric. And back then, they didn't get that because only the rich people. Well, praise the Lord. You understand. See, there is lots of things. There's lots of truths we have to understand. But the biggest truth is God is a God of abundance. I got lots and lots of scripture here. But I really sense it. I mean, a lot of these things God really wanted us to get because he needs us to understand. See, you don't, praise the Lord, you have to understand what God wants to do before you can go any further. Before this church can go further, you have to understand how God is. I believe the Lord. My wife and I believe the Lord to give us more to sow into the work. Lord, give us. We don't ask for any. We ask for very little for our own self, and God supplies it. We don't even ask for it. It's supplied. But when we go to God, we ask him, Lord, help us to give more this year. Help us to be bigger givers in the church. We've increased our giving every single year. We do it on purpose. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we want to give more. We want to see God's work go. And as we do, he increases us. There's one way. There's one way to do it. And that way is to be faithful. God requires faithfulness. Faith is the first word in faithfulness. Without faithfulness, you aren't going to see God. You're not going to understand God. You're not going to get the blessing of God. Faithfulness is in every area of your life. And if there's an area that's not faithful, it is up to you to start changing it. It is not going to change. I would quit a job before it keep me out of church. I'm telling you right now, I would quit a job before it keep me out of church. I would leave people before they'd keep me out of church. Hallelujah. There is nothing that would keep me out of the, because I know when I come here, I get in the presence of the Lord. The corporate anointing is around. I'm going to tell you right now, it's so good. Hallelujah. This is where things are broken off, people. This is where lives are changed. But listen, lives won't be changed. We can't sit there being stale Christians and expect our lives to be changed. We have to be actively a part of it. God has meant this faith to be part of, not just to be a bystander. If you want to be a bystander, go somewhere else. You will not like it here. And you cannot participate in it. You won't like what I'm preaching, and you can't participate in it. But if you want to participate, you just stand. And it's just not a big thing. I'm going to say this one more time. You ain't got to be like, oh, you got to be the perfect person. You got to be a perfect Christian. None of that stuff. God wants to bless you. He's going to start where you're at. And you come in where you're at, and you give God a little, and he'll make it a lot. Amen? I'm not talking about finances here. You give him a little yourself, and he'll make you a lot. Amen. He will make you usable. I was somebody that couldn't even stand in front of people and talk. And now I have at least two congregations, and I've been used in other churches, and there's more coming. Why? Because God takes the little that somebody brings in faith, and he makes it a lot. He grows it because our God is a growing God. He is an increasing God. He is a God of abundance. He is a God of abundant life. And if you don't believe me, just get in the Word, read Galatians 5:23 in that area. He'll tell you all about the different things that he wants for you. Praise the Lord, joy, peace, love, all these things. These are fruits of the Spirit, living in the Spirit. You go after God and he'll come after you, and you watch and see what he does for your life. Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for getting into your word. Although I didn't get into as near as far as I wanted to, but Lord, I know that you had a lot of things. There was a lot of direction, a lot of unction today to speak a lot of things. And so we thank you for those things, Lord. I know, Lord, that today you're working on hearts and you're changing hearts for good. And Father, I thank you for that. You're increasing my heart, Lord. I know that, God. You're increasing me to be a bigger blessing to your work. Yes, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you for it. Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you for these precious, precious people that you've placed here before me. Lord, help me to continue to pastor them exactly the way that they need to be pastored, giving them the word that they need to hear. God, make these people full. Let these people, and I say this, I declare this over Mayville right now, that the family church in Mayville is an exceeding example of the glory and the presence and the abundance of God. That the people who connect to this work, truly connect to this work, will be an example as they go out their everyday lives. I thank you, Lord, that you see it in their finances. I thank you, Lord, that we see it in their relationships. God, I thank you we see it in their families. I thank you, Lord, that we see it in their bodies and the healing and the effects of the devil have become less and less and less as they grow in the things of God. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for your abundance. We thank you for your abundance. We thank you that it's your will. It's your desire. It's why you gave us Jesus, that we could walk in your fullness. For salvation, of course, but salvation is so much more than just when we die, it's how we live here. And Father, we thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you've inspired me. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the words to say. And I thank you that as a result, the people are filled. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We give this opportunity every week. I do it here. I do it in Corey. I do it everywhere I preach because one of the most important thing. Now, there's lots of things that God has for us in this life, but the most important thing was that Jesus died so that we could be saved, so we don't have to go to hell. And see, the Bible is very clear that there is a very real heaven and there is a very real hell, and we are going to go one of those two places. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to not go to hell. But the only way that the Lord told us that we can be sure that we don't go to hell is through his Son, by receiving his Son, Jesus, as our personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the truth. And so you need to ask yourself, if I've never received Jesus, have I ever received Jesus? Ask yourself, do I know that if I were to die today, that I would go to heaven? And if the answer to that is no, you need to know. You need to understand. You need to get that clear before you leave here. It's the most important decision you will ever make in your life. I have known people. I have been in the place of witnessing to people and not knowing that they would have rejected the Lord. Do not reject him, because they've gone on and past. So if that's you, if you never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's real simple. What we're going to have you do, we're going to have you lift your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down, and then all of us will pray a prayer together right there in your seat. So if that's you, if you never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and just lift your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands. I'm going to give one more opportunity because we usually do this as well. Maybe you've received Jesus, and I don't mean, and you've walked away, and I don't mean that you've made a few mistakes, but I mean that you completely walked away from him. And did you want to come back today? God will accept you back. God is willing to bring you back in. It's just really important that you hook up and live for him. So if that's you, if you walked away from God and you want to come back, just go ahead and lift your hand real quick. Have you put it right back down? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to pray a prayer together because we got one hand. And maybe you're too shy to lift your hand, but you can still pray this prayer. It's not the lifting of your hand that does it, but it's the speaking it and believing it. So if you lifted your hand, just go ahead and repeat this after us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He died for me so I could be saved. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God.